Okay, the very bottom line, you'll say, Rabosai, we are on Daf Tesom and Aleph. We're starting from Daf Tesom and Beis, the last line on the page, the fourth word, Mesive. Yesterday, we talked about four reasons not to get married on Chol HaMoed. We said one reason is because you're going to mix up the joy of the holiday with the joy of being married. One is that you're going to abandon the joy of the holiday for the joy of the wife. One is that the person is going to trouble themselves making the meal. Another one is the person going to say, he'll wait, everybody will wait until one have children, but he's going to wait to have their weddings to Chol HaMoed, where they can utilize the Chol HaMoed meal for the marriage meal. So the Gemara says at this point, Mesive, they raised the difficulty from a Braisa, because we against all the opinions that we said for why you should marry Yom Tov, why. Call Elu Sha'amru, certainly Sub-Moyed, all the women that we mentioned in the Mishnah, not to marry on Chol HaMoed, Mutarin Lisa'er Rogu, you let her marry them on the day before Yom Tov. Now, one second, Kasha Lekulu, that's a difficulty to everybody. Why? If the reason is, for one way or another, not to mix the Simcha or to abandon the Simcha, the wedding Simcha is going to go 7 days after the day before Yom Tov is going to go into Yom Tov. Anyway, if the problem is trouble, he's going to have to take trouble for the wedding celebration that goes for 7 days afterwards. And if it's also... wait for the meal of the he'll at least have the meals of the celebration together with the meals of Chol HaMoed. Anyway, look, it has all the same problem. Where it says Lo Kasha, he says the Manda Amar Mishum Simcha. Those people who say the first two opinions because of mixing the Simcha or abandoning the Simcha, no Simcha Ikar Simcha Chad Yomahu. The main Simcha of marrying is only one day, and the other days are not such that it's called mixing up. If it's a problem of troubling himself for the meal, also the real trouble for the making the meal is the first day, and that's only and he's doing that every other day. The other day is not such a big problem. The one who says he's going to wait, he's not going to get married all year long and not have children. Why? Because he's going to wait to coincide with the meal of Chol HaMoed. For one day, the guy's not going to wait. In other words, it's not an issue. Knows because why? Because if he knows he can get married on Erev Yom Tov, he's not going to wait because he only has that one day. If something happens, he's not going to be able to get married on Chol HaMoed. He's not going to wait all those weeks or whatever it is for that one possible day. He's not going to do it. Okay. The principle that we set as an accepted fact, that we don't mix one simcha with another, where's the source in the Torah? The seed that's written, so when Shlomo HaMelech made the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see they celebrated for 14 days, okay, ending in the seven days of Sukkot. V'yash Shlomo Beis HaHiyas HaChag V'chol Yisrael Imo Kahal Gadol. Shlomo made at that time the holiday, and all the Jewish people with him called Gadol, okay, a big congregation of the Chamas, from this place to that place, Lifnei Hashem, located for the Lord God, Shivas Yamim, 7 days. The Shivas Yamim, 7 days, okay, which is the dedication of the temple, the Shivas Yamim, and 7 days of Sukkot, Arbas Yom, then it says 14 days. So you see that the celebration of the Shemitah wasn't on Sukkot, it was the 7 days before. Bimita, okay, if it's really, so you see, if you're allowed to mix one Simcha with another, if Bimita, the Barb, and Simcha with Simcha, you're allowed to mix one Simcha with another, the Balei Levintar the Chag, he should have waited until Sukkot and had the whole thing coinciding. Sukkot and the 7 day celebration. Hi, Umeva Shiva Lahacha, Olahacha. And you'd have what? And you'd have Chag Sukkot. You have 7 days, which will be for the dedication of the temple, and 7 days for Yom Tov. When he says, come on, he says, V'dilma mintar lo natrinan. Maybe he says, you're not allowed to. You finished the Beis HaMikdash, you can't wait. You have to celebrate right away. You couldn't do it. But any chanami, it's no proof. He didn't wait because he had finished. But if it would come out together, Avdina, you're allowed to, maybe you're allowed to make two simchas together. It just so happened that he finished 7 days before, so he had to make the celebration before. But had it come out together, you could have done both together. The man says, no, but so what? See, if you could do them together, you buy the shuri porter that he should have left some of the basin that he shouldn't finish, so that he should have timed it so it should come out. You could do them together. Must be, since he didn't do that way, must be you can't do them together. The man says, no, shiur bin yabes amigdash lo mashem. We don't, come on, we don't do that. We don't leave off the Beis HaMikdash, not build it, don't build it. And therefore you can't learn that if they were together. He couldn't be, he had no choice, and therefore maybe, but if they would have come together, he could have done it. The Gemara says, still, but Ibali Shiuri, okay, Ba Makaya Orb. On top of the Beis HaMikdash, they had like a thing to chase away the crows. They would stop the crows. It was like it would stick up like spikes that would stick up. So that let him leave off the armor spikes that would chase away the crows. That he could have left off, and since he didn't leave that off, it must be what, that you can't do them together. I said, get out of here. No, that's also called part of the Beis HaMikdash. It contributes to the height of the Beis HaMikdash. That's really, we had no right to leave it over. But really, if theoretically, again, if it could have become together, you would have done them together. Okay, Ella, so still we're stuck. So how do we know that you can't mix one symbol with another? Okay, because the Pasuk had an extra word. Mikadi, let's investigate. Kasiv, it's written, Abar Sayom, 14 days. Shivas Yom, Shivas Yom, Yom. So why did I write 7 days and 7 days? You told me 14, why write 7 and 7? Shema Minot, to teach me, Hanei Lechud, Hanei Lechud, that these 7 days have to be separate and these 7 days have to be separate. You can't mix the Simcha of finishing the Beis HaMikdash, we're doing the same with the Simcha of Yom Tov. Now, once we brought this already, we're going to talk a little bit about the dedication of the first temple. Am Rabbi Parnach, Am Rabbi Yochanan, well, Osa Shah, at that time, Osa Yisrael, Yom Kippurim. That time, they didn't observe Yom Kippur. They ate on Yom Kippur. Look here, if 7 days before Sukkot, Yom Kippur is included. So if they were celebrating, must be on Yom Kippur. They ate that year. Okay, but how you dogging the Omrim? So the Jewish people were concerned, and they said, Shema Nischayav the Senei B'Shal Yisrael Kaloya. Maybe the enemies of Israel are obligated to be destroyed. They're talking about themselves euphemistically. Maybe we did wrong. Yotza Baskav Omrim Lahem. So a heavenly voice came out and said to them, Kulchem, all of you, Muzamanim Nechai Mahaba, you are destined for the world to come. You're going to be fine. I, my Darosh, okay, how do we see, how do they see, why do they see fit? What analysis do they do to see fit that they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. Amru kavachomer. They made a kavachomer argument the following. When it came to dedicate, when it came to the tabernacle, to the tent in the desert, the tabernacle, which is not holy forever, okay, which is not holy forever, the carbon yochid, and yet when they dedicated and the sacrifice they gave was an individual sacrifice, okay, docha hashabbos, and still they were able to the princes, the head of each tribe brought in consecutive days, including on Shabbos, so they transgressed the Shabbos to bring an individual sacrifice for a mishkan which wasn't even going to be holy forever, okay, and Shabbos, so the temple wasn't going to be holy forever, and Shabbos, these are skewing the override Shabbos, which has a very severe punishment of stoning at the hands of man. Mikdash, okay, the temple, the kedushas or kedushas olam, the temple which is an even more holy place, it's going to be holy forever. The carbon tzibur, and the sacrifice that they're bringing is a public sacrifice. They all brought him as a public sacrifice, which is easier. B'yom Kippurim, Danish Karis, and Yom Kippur has a lesser punishment than Shabbos. It's only punished with what, death. Of Karis are being cut off at the hands of heaven and not with stoning, lo kol shekein, all the more so that what? That it should push off Yom Kippur. Mar says, what, Elamayo dog? So if that's true, if they had such a good way of deriving it, so why were they worried?
But there are two Shabbats in that 14 day period.
Okay, good point. Okay, why they were worried? They were worried. The answer, why were they worried? Hasam, the answer is what? Hasam the Tzorah Gavo, because over there, remember the transgression that they were talking about was the sacrifices. Hachal Tzorah Chadyor, here you're talking about for mundane purposes. We're talking about the people eating and drinking, not transgressing to bring a sacrifice. They're transgressing for the pleasure of the individual, so maybe they can't make a comparison. Yeah, to learn the sacrifices, yes. To learn that they can eat and drink, who said they're right? The Gemara says what? Okay, so the Gemara says, Hachanami here too, okay. Me'evel la'avdeh said, so you're right, should've, why'd they eat? They should have done the sacrifices. Mechol anechla b'lishna, they shouldn't have eaten or drank. Okay, why didn't they do it? Okay, the answer is, ein simcha v'lechla v'shtiyah. The answer is, well, because there is no rejoicing without eating and drinking. Gemara says the Dachi Shabbos, Mishkan the Dachi Shabbos, and all. Okay, why we're on the subject? You assume that the princes brought their sacrifice on Shabbos. How do you know? If you say what I said the first day, and it said the seventh day meaning went on Shabbos also. Okay, that was when the prince of Ephraim, the head of the tribe of Ephraim, brought. You think it's on Shabbos? Dilma le Karbonos. Okay, now maybe that seventh day, Dilma Shvi le Karbonos, not the seventh day of the week of Shabbos. Maybe the seventh day of the Karbonos. Seventh day of sacrifices, but on Shabbos they didn't bring it. Whatever it was, they skipped Shabbos. Because it says the 11th day, and you know it says the 11th day. It says Yom and repeats the word Yom. So therefore, what my Yom Kula Mitzvah, just like a day is completely consecutive. Also, what the 11 days were all consecutive. They didn't skip a day for Shabbos. It says, come on, but Dilma Yomi Maruyan. How do you know? But it was 11 days. The days when it was fit to bring a sacrifice, but they skip Shabbos. Maybe it's only the days that were applicable. They skipped Shabbos. They didn't bring the sacrifice on Shabbos. And Kasiv, no, because it's written, because we have another Pasuk. We have day 11th day. We also have Yom Shemasar Yom. On the day of the 11th day. So again, you have a second Pasuk that repeats. You know, so now you can't get out of it. The first one, okay, you can say on the fitting days, but now it's doubled. Okay, my Yom Shekulah Ritzuf, Avshnai Mishnah Yom Shekulah Ritzufin. Just like the day is completely consecutive, also the 12 days were completely consecutive. So they did a second time now. We've certainly learned that, and they didn't skip Shabbos. I v'dil ma'achanami. Okay, Yomim Ruyim. Okay, he says, come on. If so, well, I already preempted the point, but it says, maybe what do you mean? Also, when it says the 12th, it just means the days that are fitting, but not 12 consecutive days. In Cain, if that was true, Trey Kali Lamali, why would two times you have to say day on the 11th, day on the 12th? When it's twice, you can't say it. We had only once day, you could say, yeah, the days that fit. But day twice, you have to say, it's teaching us that they were consecutive even on Shabbos. I midash the Dochem Kippurim in Nolan. Okay, and how do we know that what Rabbi Parnach said that they pushed off Yom Kippur and ate during the celebration of that year of the temple, and they ate on Yom Kippur? Elam v'tida brasa yom. When it said 14 days, they celebrate 14 days celebration. Dilma yomim. Again, Manchi has the same question over there. Maybe they celebrated whatever was fit, but Yom Kippur, which wasn't fit to celebrate and eat, they didn't eat. And the answer is Yom Yom Yehosim. The answer is because we learned the word day from there. Just like from the day we learned by the dedication of the tabernacle that it was consecutive. Also, we learned it was consecutive, and they were celebrating and eating even on Yom Kippur. Yotzah Baskol Ramalahem. We said that we said in the name of Yochanan, the Parachim of Yochanan, that a heavenly voice came out and said to them, Kuchum Zun Melchaim Mahaba, you are all ready, destined to go to the world to come. Everything we know in the Achalei. How do we know that Hashem forgave them for what they did? The answer is the Tanit Tachlifa, because we learned he taught the following. It says Biyom Mishmini Shilach Hasa'am. It says on the eighth day Shlomo he sent away the people of Baruchu Asa Melech. They blessed the king, okay, v'yochol aleim, and they went to the tent, smichim, happy, to elave, and glad of heart. I'll call it over for all the good, asher asah Hashem l'David avdo, that God did to David his servant, l'Yisraelmo, and to Israel his people. And this is what he explained, each of these words. L'aleim, they went back to their tents. Sholchom atzun Hashem b'tar, they went back to their, that's their wives, they found their wives were clean. Permitted for intimacy. Smechim, why they were happy. Shinagu, happy because they got pleasure from the splendor of the divine presence. Vatuvilev, happy of heart, glad of heart. Shekolechad v'echad desabra ishto ben zocher. Every single one of them, his wife conceived a male child. I'll call a tova for all the good. Shiyotza basko v'ramalahem, because the heavenly voice came out and said to them, Kulcham zumanim l'chalam haba. You are all destined for the world to come. The David Abdi Shalomo, what does it mean to David his servant and to Israel his people? Bishlam Israelmo all makes sense. It says to Israel's people, the Achaluhu. What here they're happy. Why? Because what was the good that Kosh Baruch Hu forgave them for eating in Yom Kippur? Ella David Avdel, but when you said what for David his servant, what was the happy thing? Mahi, what's that? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav. B'shashi b'ikar Shlomo l'hachni es aron l'migdash. When Shlomo Melech wanted to bring the ark into the Holy of Holies, davku sharim zelazev, the gates of the Holy of Holies they stuck together, wouldn't let him in. Amar Shlomo, Shlomo said, Esri v'arbu ranano. So he said 24 languages, prayers of song, prayers of song. Lonana, and he still wasn't answered. He couldn't get the gates open. Pasav Amar, so he began to say, Su'usha v'sheichem, lift up your heads, O gates. Lonana, he still wasn't answered. Kevin Shomar, when he said, Hashem Elokim, he said, Lord God, al tashi p'nei shichecha, don't turn back the face of your anointed one. Zochel l'chazni David avdech, remember the saintly deeds of David, your servant, Biadnan. He was immediately answered, because he mentioned David. And the whole point was for everybody to see that David, that the merit of David, was a shah at that time, the faces of all the people who hated David turned black like the bottom of a pot. It was made known to everybody that HaKadosh Baruch had forgiven David because of his wrongdoing with Bathsheba and her husband. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Amasa Yehuda ben Gerim. So therefore, there was a great joy. Rabbi Yochanan, happy heart. Rabbi Yosef ben Amasa Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim Tanu Parshas Nedarim. They were learning the section of Nedarim, whether it was the Gemara or the Mishnah or the Chumash part. Okay, Bei Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and the Yeshiva Rabbi Yochai. If the Menei Beurta, so they took leave of him in the evening, meaning to go home. Okay, but they didn't go; they stayed over Litzafra in the morning because they didn't go home. How did they come if the Menei? They took leave of him a second time. Amar Lui said to him, "La Beftarisu Menei Beurta, didn't you take leave of me last night? Why'd you come back?" They said, Limatana Rabbeinu said, you taught us, Thomas Shifter Rabba, that if a student takes leave of his rabbi, Ulanbos a year, and in the end, but he instead of leaving, he stays overnight in the same city. Tsarich Lifter Menopamacharis, he has to go back and take leave of him a second time when he's going to leave. Shenemar, how do we know? We know from the dedication of the temple. It says, Beyom Hashmini, on the eighth day of Sukkot, okay, which is the 22nd of the month, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. See, then it's written in a different place, on the 23rd day of the month, the seventh month, he sent the people away. So did he send them away on the 22nd or 23rd? So you see, here, from here you see the same story. What happened was they stayed over. So here, if a student leaves the master, but he stays in the end, he stays in the city. So he has to take leave of him a second time. Amarle, okay, the amazing story. Amarle, Libre. So he said to his son, Rabbi Lezer, B'nai Adam Alal, he says, these people, Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yehuda, Anashim Mishal Tzura, these are lofty people. Tamei Chachamim, Zil Gabeim, go to them, that they should bless you. Go to them, get a blessing. Azal Vishkechina the Karam Zukaradari. So he came and they were busy finding contradictions between verses. See, well, it's written, Palis Magal Raglecha, way you walk. The Chol Dechacha Yichana, all your ways will be set. In other words, you have to look at all the mitzvahs and see which one is bigger, which one is smaller, and do the bigger mitzvah. Look, see, well, on the one hand, it says you have two choice of two mitzvahs. Choose the one that's bigger and do that. Pentafalis, and the end it says no. It says the way of life is do not weigh. Okay, which means what? Whatever mitzvah comes to you first, you should do. Don't decide. Don't pick by which is bigger. Whatever comes first, you have to do that one. But lo kasha. And they answer the contradiction like this. Kan b'mitzvah shef shel asos de'achirim. Okay, a mitzvah, when did it say that you should weigh the mitzvahs up and do the bigger one when you have a mitzvah that somebody else can do? So that somebody else do the smaller one and you do the bigger one. And kan, but okay, so that's what it says. You should weigh them up. Kan b'mitzvah shef shel asos de'achirim. Here's a mitzvah that nobody else can do. So then, whether it's big or small, you have to whatever comes to you, you have to do it because allocate the smaller one to somebody else to do it for you. Hardly yes, we're coming by Elihu. They were again sitting. He was still sitting and raising another contradiction, apparent contradiction to Pesukim. See, Yikari, Peninim, the Torah is more precious than pearls. And all of your desires will not equal it. Okay, so nothing is as big as the Torah. Therefore, what? So anything that you want, you forego for the sake of learning. Always, for whatever you love, you forego for learning. I But okay, but the only thing is what? But that sounds like what? Your desires are not worth the Torah, but the desires of heaven, you should go and do the mitzvah and stop learning. Look, see, when the other hand is written, kol chafotzim lo yishvavo, but then there's a passage that says, all desires are not equivalent to it. So mashma what? That even for the sake of a mitzvah, you shouldn't abandon learning. One pasuk is mashma what? Only your desires you don't abandon learning. But Hashem, but mitzvahs you do abandon learning. The second one sounds like any desire, even mitzvahs you don't abandon learning. The answer is no. He says, over here where it says, even things of mitzvah are not equivalent to Torah. The mitzvah, Shef Shal Seh Decheim, that's a mitzvah that you can do by others. If you can get somebody else to do the mitzvah, continue, sit and learn. The Khan over here where it says, you have to stop learning and get up. The mitzvah, Shef Shal Seh Decheim, it's a mitzvah that you can't do by way of others. Amrulei, my baisacha. So finally, they're busy, finish all their learning there. They said to him, my baisacha, what are you doing here? What do you want? Amar Lui says, Amar Li Abba, he said to him, because my father said to me, Roshim Yochai, Zogabayadi the Rechuch. He said, go to them, they should bless you. That's why I'm here. Amar Lui, so they said to him, this is the blessing they gave him. Yehirava me, pi Hashem's will. The Tidzwa will not techzad, you should plant and not cut. It sounds terrible. You plant, not reap. Te'ayo v'lo tipuk, you should bring in and not bring out, which sounds like what? No, you should buy merchandise and not sell it. It sounds the opposite of a blessing. Tipuk v'lo te'ayo, okay? You'll spend money, okay, for merchandise, and you won't bring it in. Okay, lichur besach. Your house should be destroyed. Okay, lisa v'shvizach, and your hotel should be, you know, your hotel should be settled, should be populated. Okay, lebalba p'tzurach. Your temple should be, your table should be destroyed, troubled. Okay, your meal should be troubled. And you shouldn't see the new year. What kind of blessing is that? Kiata legabe abua. When he got back to his father, Amalei, so he said to him. He said when he got back to Roshim, he said, so Elazar said to him, lo mi bai de baruch lebriuchon, he said, it goes, not only did they not bless me, I will tell you sorry, and they said things to hurt me. Okay, Amalei, he says, there are things that hurt me. Amalei says, father said to him, my murlach, what they said to you? So he repeated, they said this and this. Amalei, so he said to him, hanach kulu b'chosini, everything they said to you was a blessing. Tizra l'sechza, when they said that you should plant and you shouldn't cut, like you shouldn't harvest, he meant to say, tolid bani v'lo yamusi, you should have children, have sons, and have children, they shouldn't die. Te'av l'o tipuk, what do you mean that you should bring in and not take out? He thought it meant to bring in merchandise, don't sell it. No. Te'ayo kalosach, okay, you should bring a daughter-in-law in, you should bring a bride for your son, your son shouldn't die. Hey, because if the son dies, she's going to go back to the house of her father. So bring in a bride. She should bring her in. She should never let her go. Your son should live. Okay, and okay, the lipkun. Your son shouldn't die, so they should go back out again. Tipuk velotel. What do you mean? What that you're going to bring out, and you shouldn't bring in again? Which sounds like you spend money and not bring in the merchandise. No, totally bunso. You should have daughters. Okay, what? Which you're going to send out? So you're going to send out the velimusik abayir, and their husband shouldn't die. Velajul bunso, I can come back to you. You should send out and don't bring back in. Your daughter should go out, and their husband shouldn't die. Then you should take him back in. Lichur beisach. Okay, your house should be destroyed. In this case, we're going to say the house is what? He says, the house is release of Ushbizek, and that your inn should be settled. He's saying what your permanent home will see. In other words, your permanent house, which is your grave, should be destroyed, and your temporary home, which is this world, okay, should be populated. Meaning what? The high alma, okay, Ushbizek. In other words, In other words, pardon me, if I didn't say, okay, your house that should be destroyed, your permanent home, the grave, should be destroyed, okay? And your temporary home, which means, okay, the high alma of this world should be populated, here. In other words, this world is the home. The Siv, okay, Kirbon Batem El Olam, the grave is going to be their eternal home. Atik Kirbon, in their thinking of their eternal home, Atik Kirbon, that's the inside, El Kivram, the grave is their eternal home. So therefore he's saying what? So your big, your Shair, you should live. That's the main point. Let your permanent home be destroyed and your temporary home should be populated. You should live. Okay? And that's the point. Okay, lebabo psurach, your table should be messed up, should be troubled. What does that mean? What does he mean? Else to be the sir? But bani avansa, you should have sons and daughters. Okay, where that's how kids do. They all make noise at whatever they do at the meal. Lasesi shatacharta, and you shouldn't see the new year, which sounds terrible. He means what? The lo tombus intach says your wife shouldn't die. Lo tinasiv into sachri sees your wife shouldn't die. You should have to marry another wife because the year each wife gets a year. You know the new year, the first year of the wife. You should have this year. You shouldn't get another new year. You shouldn't have to, your wife shouldn't die. Rav Shimon bar Chalafta iftimenei de Rav. Rav Shimon bar Chalafta took leave of Rav. Amrlei lebrei, so he said to his son Zilagabi de Lebrach. He says, "Go." Okay, he said, "Go to him so that he should bless you." So therefore, his son went to Rav. So the son of Rav went to Rabbi Shimon bar Chalafta. Amrlei, so Rabbi Shimon bar Chalafta said to him, he wanted to bless. Here's what he said to him: "Ye Rav de lo tivayish." He said, "May it be Hashem's will that you shouldn't embarrass." And therefore be embarrassed. You shouldn't embarrass others, which in turn will embarrass you. So he came to his father, to Rav, Amalei. So Rav said to him, "My Amalei, what did Rabbi Shimon have to say to you?" Amalei. So he said to him, "Milim b'Amalei." He said, "Who the Amalei?" He said, "Normal things, nothing special." Amalei. So Rav said to his son, he says, "Bircha said he didn't say normal things to you." He blessed you, he blessed you with the blessing of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, blessed the Jewish people, and repeated the Chesiv, as it's written, you'll eat, eating and satisfied, and you'll praise, my people will not be embarrassed, be shamed forever. And then it says, "V'yadatem ki b'kerav Yisrael ani etc." V'lo yivosha amin. Again, my people will. But now it sounds like they won't be shamed. Okay, le'olam forever. But the double language is one is really what means that they. It means that they shouldn't be embarrassed. A similar point. V'osi shatach shital. We said the woman's allowed to do her cosmetics on Chol HaMoed. Tana Rabbanan. We learn elyon tashit nashim. These are the cosmetics that women are allowed to do. Kochalash. She does her eye makeup. Upokesa, she does her hair. She parts her hair. Marvira Sruk Aponah, she puts red rouge on her face. Vikadamra, and some people say Maaveris Aponah Shamata, she puts the razor on her lower face. She takes the hair off of her private place.
And then just
the Rav Chisda. Mekashto, the Bishop of Chishto, Mekashto. Okay, the wife of Chishto was doing her cosmetics during Chol HaMoed, Ba'am Pechalasa, in front of her daughter-in-law. Yossi Rav Huna Bar Chinina Kamei Rav Chishto said that he was sitting. This rabbi, he was sitting in front of Chishto, and he challenged him. Yossi Kamei, he said, "Lo Shanu Eliyaldi." He said, "Only a young girl puts on makeup on Yantav. It's important to her. I was a Kena, but an older woman who's not doesn't make her so happy. Lo, she doesn't do it." Amalei said, "Nope." He says, "It's not correct." He says, "All women have to put the makeup on." He says, "Elohim." He says, he swears. He says, "Afilu imach, even your mother. Afilu imad imach, even your mother's mother." Afilu omedes al kivra, even the woman so old, she's standing by her grave. She's ready for the grave. No matter how old she is, they all can put makeup on. Why? The Amin because they say, "Bashitin kabashis." A 60-year-old woman is the same as a 6-year-old girl. Lakal tavla, when they hear the ringing of the bell for the wedding, Rahata, she runs. They all the same thing. They all got to put makeup on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo tasud. Rabbi Yehuda says that the woman is not allowed to put the lime on her face. Why? Because remember, because it's a pain. Tanya Rehuda Marila says each lotosim if they should evil ulo. The woman shouldn't put lime on her face because it makes her disgusting while it's still on her. Mother Rehuda admits beseech sheicholo. Lakafa mud, if it's the lime that she's able to, she'll have time to take it off while it's still the yantav. Okay, so faltamud, then she can't put it on yantav. Okay, on the cholamud. Why? Because even though at the time that it's on, that it's disgusting. Okay, the alpha pisha mitzeri achshav, even though it troubles her, it hurts her, while it's at this moment smecha hilach harzman. Afterwards, she's happy because here it makes the hair come out, it makes her skin shine, so it's good. I says the Gemara, miyislei or makes her red. Miyislei the Rabbi makes her red. Miyislei the Rabbi Yehuda, I swear, was the Rabbi Yehuda really hold that we can override the temporary pain because it's going to make her happy in the end? I'll show you, he doesn't hold such a swear. He doesn't agree that the happiness afterwards overrides the pain now. Well, tonight, didn't we learn? We learned by the idol worshippers' holiday. We don't want to make them happy for their holiday. And therefore what? So therefore we don't borrow money from them. We don't lend money to them. Okay? And we don't even pay. We don't lend and borrow. We don't pay them and we don't take payment from them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, when it comes to taking payment from the Ephraim, you can't take payment from them. Why? Because it makes them sad, you can take payment. Amrulo, so they said to him, even though he's sad now that he pays the money, afterwards he's happy because he's happy that he paid his debt. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda held, I don't care the fact that he's happy afterwards, doesn't change the fact that he's not happy now to pay the money. He has to let it go. And he has no way to hold on to the money. Now, I don't care the fact that he'll be happy later. So therefore, you see that Yehuda doesn't hold the idea that the happiness later overrides the sadness now. So how could he say that the woman, if she's going to put on the lime and take it off before the moed passes, that she's allowed to do it? He doesn't hold the happiness later that she'll be happy with her face and overcomes the pain before. He said, you can't make the comparison. When it comes to the laws of Chol Moed, that principle is the guiding principle of Chol Moed. The Kulu, Meitzar Achshav, V'Samech L'Chakach. All of them is where he's unhappy. He has to trouble himself on Chol Moed, but he's happy at the end. For example, here, we allowed a guy to cook. On Chol Moed. He has to take the trouble, but he's happy afterwards. He eats the food, whatever the story is. He's allowed to do it. So okay, so that's all that Adinu. There are all the cases of the permission to do work on Chol Hamoed is the happy now, sad now, happy afterwards. Okay, but that's special din by Chol Hamoed, but you can't special din by Chol Hamoed. But when it came to the holiday of the idol worship, that's a different principle. Ravina Omar, Ravina said, he says, you know what? He says, you're right. He says, you know, Ravina agrees that if you're happy afterwards, it's happy. And that's why he said that if she's able to take the lime off while it's still the moed, you can, she's allowed to do it. Okay, why? Kuti linyan piran la'olamet. So the answer, when it comes to payment, the idol worshiper is always sad. Okay, they say different reasons because he has, as long as he has the money, he'll find some way to hold on to it. And therefore, no matter what, even we never say, oh, because he's going to be happy later, he pays his debt. He never wants to let it go because he's always thinking there's some way to hold on to it. Our Rabbi Yehuda ben Yisrael Shigel Pirkan, Yehuda said that Jewish girls, when they reach puberty, they're old enough for the hair to start to grow, lo gil shana, but they're not 12 years old yet, in which case they are embarrassed to have hairs. So they would get it off in the following way. Anios, the poor girls, tovlo sosan besid. The poor girls would smear it with lime. Ashiras, the rich ones, tovlo sosan besolos. They would smear it with fine flour. Benos melacha, the princesses, you know, the really wealthy ones, b'shemen amor. They'd use shemen amor, which also takes off hair. Shenemar says, shishachadash shemen amor. Remember, we learned by Esther, they were 6 months in the oil of mor. My shemen amor, what is mor oil? Rav Huna bar Chiya amar, Sutcase, okay, whatever it is. Rav Yehuda bar Amar amar, shemen zayi shlo vishlish. Rav Yehuda bar Amar says, it's olive oil that didn't ripen one third. Tanya, we learned in the Bais, Rav Yehuda Omer, on pekinon, which we learned about, which we're not allowed to use it for the meal offerings. Okay, shemen zayin shlei v'yishlish. That's talking about olive oil that didn't come to a third of its ripening. So, and why do women put it on them? Shemeshu es haseir, because it takes the hair off. Madin es habrasa, makes the skin shine. Rabibi habalei barter. Rabibi had a daughter. Toflo aver. He put lime on every single limb, one by one. Okay, and which made her so beautiful. Shekaba arba mezuzi. So he was able to get from the husband a dowry of 400 zoos. Or he's able to get 400 zoos, even though she was so desirable. Haviahu kuti b'shibuse, so there was a certain non-Jew in his neighborhood, a kuti in his neighborhood, okay, the Havi, he had a daughter, so he figured out they'll do the same thing. But instead of doing it limb by limb, he put the lime in her whole body, which is very, very painful. Umesa, and she died. No, the rabbi was smart enough to do limb by limb. She could take it. The kuti put it on her whole body at once, and she died. She couldn't handle it. Omar, Katler Bibi Lubarti, said Bibi killed my daughter, because he thought he learned it from him. Omar Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Bibi the Shasi Shichri, said Rabbi Bibi, where they drink beer in his house, okay, which makes people hairy, etc. By and Bunse Tafla, his daughters need to smear the stuff on them to get the hair off, okay, to make their skin nice, because beer makes people hairy and fat. He says, we don't drink beer, but buy a Bunsen Tiflo. He says, our daughters don't need to be smeared because they're not hairy and fat. We'll call that a daf. Wow. Everyone, a wonderful day.